Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Oh man, what a lovely song coming out there by Juanita Bainham. And I Will Wait For You, one of those absolutely timeless songs. And there's just something about Radio Pulpit that always takes me back to my childhood. A lot of music that we get to play, I'm like, oh, this takes me back to my youth days. And this one is just one of those that definitely take me back to my youth days. And a very good afternoon to you if you have just tuned in. My name is Lukom Kwedi Phuthi, and I'm absolutely thrilled to be hosting you this afternoon. And it is Thursday. What's my promise for Thursday? That you will indulge on the word, because it's Word Fest, a time for the festival of the word. Dr. Julius Mangit, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Luke. How are you doing?
I'm well, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. And yeah, definitely the reality about our context of life is that Christ is in control of whatever situation we're going through.
Yeah.
And I think as a pastor, we're always at an angle to always encourage people.
Encourage.
we have an assignment to always, you know, clothe ourselves with the Barnabas, you know, apparel.
And don't I need that right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, definitely a son of encouragement, because I think the world is going through a lot of trauma and challenges. And I think by the grace of God, if there's one area of ministry pastors must realize and understand their very calling and obligation is to be there for people who are going through rough times. And all through, when you leave Sunday, you get the number of calls that come through for you to be able to just encourage people, for you to pray for people, for you to be there. In fact, it's a ministry of presence. And the ministry of presence, I always tell pastors, is not necessarily being there present physically, but just being there also spiritually in terms of praying for them, being there a little bit emotionally, also just giving, you know, a shoulder for somebody to cry. And definitely the intention is to make sure that God will have his way in that very context and that very situation. And I think that's why I think today God really laid a word upon my heart, and the intention is really to encourage someone. Sometimes I go through a series, you know, preaching local in church. I told someone once that I preached through the book of James, you know, and one of my friends took 3 years to preach through the book of Mark.
Wow.
Yeah, a lot of people do expository preaching, text-driven preaching, will always want to go through books of the Bible. And it's quite wonderful for you to realize that when you go through the books of the Bible, God seems to give you messages in context.
Yeah.
you just will not realize that you're going to chapter 2 of Mark, and what you're about preaching is a reality of what your people might be going through, experiencing. And so it gives you a little bit of you know, hope and strength that whatever you're sharing definitely is from the Lord, and God really has a plan around it. And that's what gets me excited. That's what gets me elated. And that's really what gets me preaching. because the message I'm going to share today will be titled Hope Beyond Hope.
Hope beyond hope.
Hope beyond hope. Abraham believed hope against hope. And definitely, I told you, you know, Loco, that a couple of weeks ago, I was with a very good friend in Nairobi. He's a cardiologist, and he's
a whole cardiologist.
Yeah,
must be a genius.
No, he's brilliant. He's brilliant. I think definitely shout out to Dr. Dindi, I think there should be about 3 or 5 of them in the whole of Kenya, specialized in cardio surgery. And Dr. Dindi is so blessed. I'm not yet so much to talk about Dr. Dindi if he's following us, but I think he's inspired me over the years. And but he always shares very compelling illustrations and messages when he preaches. He has a talk. So on one occasion, he shares with us his surgery experience. And in that surgery experience, he narrates a story of this gentleman who comes in. His situation is a little bit difficult because definitely anything which deals with the heart, it is a difficult one to deal with. And so he has to be wheeled into operation immediately, surgery. So his team comes alongside him and they try their best on this guy, perform the surgery, but at the very tail end, they definitely wouldn't succeed in what they're doing. So they lose a guy. Yo. And as a surgeon, you have to go out and narrate that episode to the family.
Sure.
Because you definitely now will be putting up your counseling, heart to be able to go out and tell the family.
Sure.
So he goes out and meets the father of the gentleman and tells him, I'm sorry, we tried our best. I did my best and I couldn't help this young man, your son. And all what the father tells him, I believe God can do something.
Sure.
I know you've done your best, but can you give me one more chance?
And in your professional state that moment, you're thinking in denial.
And he tells Dr. Dindi, please, can you go in there again and try it the last time? So Dr. Dindi thinks that, look, how will it look like
getting back? That's what I'm saying. You, in that moment, as a professional,
back,
you're like...
Getting back into the ward, and you've left a situation, a case, which is conclusive medically. So why should I get back there? But immediately when the father told him that, I believe God can intervene, just give that last chance. Dr. Dindi is a Christian.
So okay. It spoke to the Christ in him.
So I want to tell you that it's a good thing to be a doctor, but it's another thing to be a Christian medical doctor.
Yeah. Challenging.
And it makes all the difference. It's a good thing to be a lawyer, but it's a good thing to be a Christian lawyer as well. So Dr. Dindi says, okay, look, I don't want to disappoint the old man, and I told him I'm going in.
But wasn't he thinking in his head in that moment, but I'm a Christian, I did it the Christian way, so hey.
Look, one thing which happens, Loco, is that sometimes your professional aptitude overrides your spirituality and your faith. And that's
humility is in realizing that moment.
And humility is realizing that it happens even with lawyers, because the reality is that God is in all professions, especially those that glorify him, because we put them in brackets and wooden parentheses, because definitely they are professions that God wants to glorify himself in and through. And he does that through people, through Christians.
Yeah.
And that's why the convocation was for Christian professionals. And he was sharing with us his experience as a cardiologist, in that very moment. And so he took upon himself and said, look, let me satisfy the last request of the father. Let me head back there, because the nurses should be preparing the body already for the morgue.
Of course.
So let me get there. So he gets there and tells the nurses that, look, I've just come back, undo him, remove the cloth over him, and let's try the last time. Let me just give it a last try.
You can imagine everyone
and
in the room.
So the nurses turn and look at him and say, but,
Scientifically,
this is not possible. we've signed, you've signed everything. We've confirmed it's conclusive. And he said, look, just give it a last chance. And he said, while he was heading there, he had a very compelling conviction that something is about happening.
Wow.
So he tells the nurse to put up the machines and they give him a last shock. And that one last shock, he comes back to life.
I just got goosebumps.
Oh, come on. That young man comes back to life. I don't know to whom I'm talking, because there are some people who definitely are hearing this, and you might have given up on so many things, but I think God has a final say, and God definitely can bring that situation back to life. Whatever has gone dead around your situation, around your life, God could bring it back to life. And this made me, you know, relate so much with the widow of Nain. The widow of Nain's story is quite a compelling story in the Bible, and you realize that it's a difficult one, because this lady finds herself in a predicament of impossibility.
Okay.
She finds herself in a predicament of impossibility. Impossibility because, number one, I think she's lost the husband, reason why she's called a widow. The reason why she's called a widow. And you realize the second thing is that the Bible also highlights that she doesn't only lose her husband, but she also lost her son. So our situation is compounded. If you're reading with me, I think we definitely can go to the book of Luke chapter 7 and verse 11 to 17. Luke chapter 7, and you read it from there, 11 to 17. It's quite instructive, you know, to read that portion of scripture. Mm-hmm. Soon afterwards, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." Then he went up and touched the bier they were carrying him on, and the bearers stood still. He said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." Then the dead man sat up and began to talk. Jesus gave him back to his mother. I just could imagine the scare around that moment. I just could imagine the scare around that moment. But let me tell you, local, in Christ Jesus, we have hope beyond hope.
Amen.
Okay, hope beyond hope, because I'll get back to the context of this scripture. The widow of Nain is quite an interesting story. In fact, the very town Nain, by definition and by meaning, means beautiful.
Okay.
Just like the beautiful gate.
Okay.
You can be in a beautiful city, but beautiful things might not be happening around your life.
But in an ugly situation.
But in an ugly situation, you just can be in that posture where you seem not to see something good in the beautiful city of Nain. This lady would have gone through a very traumatic episode of life, because she's lost her very beloved husband.
Yeah.
And next of kin to the husband is a son, because customarily he has to take over the inheritance.
Exactly.
And so he stands not only as a father figure, you know, to this lady, but also as a hopeful heir. To whatever possessions and inheritance that they might have.
But now he's not there.
The worst happens. So the question we ask in our Christian walk and Christian journey is, what happens when we go through the toughest times? What happens when we seem to have lost hope in all the very hopeful situations? And that's why I've come to say, look, I do believe there is hope beyond hope. Because just like the case of Dr. Dindi, there was hope that he could get this guy, you know, totally, you know, redressed from his situation, because he's a medical doctor. He specialized in that. He before he got into surgery, he told the parents, "Look, it might be a 50-50%, but I'll do my best." And when he came, local, the first hope was gone.
Amen. Sure.
and the last hope was at stake.
Ah, and it needed to show up.
And it needed to show up.
Come on.
I think somebody's preaching with me today. And so what happens? What do we mean by hope beyond hope? What do we mean by hope beyond hope? And it just might be a metaphor that we're using, but hope beyond hope means hope that transcends normal, natural, conventional hope.
I need to write that down.
So there is hope that transcends normal hope, natural hope, conventional hope, because conventional hope means medically, according to medicine, which is conventional, there is hope that you going in for surgery, something good will come out of that situation. But what happens if something goes wrong?
If something positive does not come out of that room.
In fact, you're within my notes. You're just reading my notes now. You're reading my notes because my second reality, I put in about three realities. The first reality around hope beyond hope is that hope beyond hope means that means hope that transcends normal, natural, conventional hope. But number two, it means hope that goes an extra mile. Hope that goes an extra mile. Hope that goes to the point where you're saying, look, let's satisfy the Father. Let's give it a chance. Let's give it a last chance. And I'm telling somebody, it is hope that doesn't give up. Because God always, always shows up in the second hope.
Okay.
In that first hope, you're carrying the emotions and sentiments of men. And sometimes it is informed by your profession. Sometimes it is informed by your environment. Sometimes it is informed by your friends. But there is a hope that taps within the very space of the divine. It is hope that believes that if man fails, God can do.
Come on.
So it is hope that goes an extra mile. But again, hope beyond hope means that does not take, no for an answer.
Stubborn hope.
I think I needed that word. Look, because we're living in a moment and in episodes of our lives where we give up so easily.
Yeah.
It is like this persistent woman who beckons on the judge in Luke 18, and she's pleading for an intervention. In fact, the title of that passage is The Persistent Lady. She cries out and she needs intervention. And I want to tell you, that should be the posture of Christians. The posture of Christians is being in a situation where you don't take no for an answer.
Come on.
You don't take no for an answer. You don't take no for an answer because definitely God has a final word.
Come on.
There's a song which goes, I think we always sing it in church. Who has the final say? Jehovah.
Okay.
Has a final say. So who has a final say over your case? It is Jehovah. It is God who has the final say, because God turns your situations around. He would turn them around when you're just about giving up, even. And which means, again, that God has a final say. I just was reading a part of scripture again, Proverbs 16, verse 18. Proverbs 16, verse 18 says, we may make our plans, but I love especially this version, the Good News version. We may make our plans, get this local, but God has the last word. Okay, I'm talking to somebody who might not have heard the last word from God. You've gone through that very situation of your life and you've heard the last word from the doctors.
Sure.
You've heard the last word from the judge. And you might have heard the last word from people. But the reality is that you need to hear the last word from Jesus. Because God has a last word over your situation. And that word gives hope beyond hope. And I was getting back to context because listen to this, local. These are two crowds. I would have titled this message, Crowds. Okay. For those who love titles, and sometimes, you know, in expository preaching, we say the shorter your title, the more powerful it becomes.
True.
So we definitely just would have given it a title, crowds, because these are two crowds coming in. So there's a crowd leaving town with a funeral procession, because most often, customarily, burials, funerals, and definitely interments were done outside of town.
Okay.
And so these people have a procession, and they're heading to the gates of the town. Most likely, they're heading out to bury this young man.
Okay.
But coming into town is Jesus. And Jesus is coming with a crowd. So there are two crowds. So there's a crowd which is a mourning crowd heading out of town, very hopeless, with this widow. She is most hopeless because her situation is compounded. Mm. She's not only lost her husband, but she's also lost a dear son.
All right.
And maybe her only son. And it makes it quite difficult even. Mm. And Jesus is heading into town. Look, this gives me a little bit of a metaphor. And this metaphor is like the church meeting the broken world.
Mm.
Because the church needs to be the light in the broken world. If ever you are a church in a community that is broken and hopeless, you are that Jesus crowd that has to bring hope in that hopeless community.
Amen.
If you are in a community that is helpless, you ought to bring help through Christ in that very helpless community.
Mm.
And so we find ourselves in the juxtaposition of life, you know, local, because the reality is that you always find these two currents. You will find a funeral current, and you will find, you know, a jubilant current.
True.
Jesus comes in with a crowd which is very hopeful because they're following him because of his miracles. He's healed, he's fed, and definitely they're looking forward to the next miracle and episode of miracle. And when Jesus comes into the picture, he is accosted with a crowd that is so sad.
Sure.
And maybe I'm talking to you who find yourself in the crowd of disillusion. And definitely I'm not Jesus, but I'm presenting Jesus to your case, because I know that he can change your mourning into dancing.
I'm giving you that very last hope.
I'm giving you that very last hope when you've given up on everything, everyone. I want to believe that even doctors had tried in the case of this lady's son. They would have done everything possible to help his condition, bring him back to life, and she just is heading to the very burial of this guy. But Jesus Christ interrupts that procession. So I've come to tell somebody that there are some good interruptions over your life. And these good interruptions happens when Jesus shows up in the very dark moments of your life, in a moment when you ought to be giving up, and you've tried everything, and people have told you, I'm not sure it's possible. I'm not sure it's possible.
You know what's in my heart? Try Jesus.
Try Jesus. Let me give you this few words before I leave. So the reality is that as we round up, how does hope beyond hope take place in your life? How does it take place in your life in the context of this scripture? How do we move from a place of first hope into second hope? I want to read through the scripture. And if you read with me, I want to believe, number one, you can experience hope beyond hope.
Yeah.
When Jesus comes to town.
Mm.
So Jesus comes to town and everything changes.
Yeah.
And I want to tell you, when Jesus showed up in Nain, everything changed in Nain.
Mm.
The very difficult and hard situation in this lady's life took shape, and the beautiful Nain really became beautiful for her.
Wow.
I want to believe that if ever you're going through a situation, even in your marriage, which is difficult and seem not to be beautiful, when God meant it to be beautiful, because in John chapter 2, Jesus Christ is the one who made the marriage feast beautiful in Canaan. And I want to believe What brings hope beyond hope is Jesus showing up in your marriage.
Amen.
Is Jesus showing up in your very profession? Is Jesus showing up in the very episodes of your life? So her last prayer, I believe, heading towards that funeral, heading towards that burial, permit me, I'm just inferring, you know, in my legal text, and I'm just inferring, this lady would have said, I know my son is dead, but I heard of this man Jesus. Oh, how I pray Jesus shows up at the gates of Nain.
Sure.
Oh, I pray. And definitely God hears your prayer when you pray that Jesus should show up. Number two, when he comes to town, but number two, when Jesus sees you. I want to believe that she did not see Jesus. The Bible records that Jesus sees. And let me tell you, Loco, in moments of difficulties, we seem not to see Jesus so much in the picture. But let me tell you, Jesus sees you. He sees whatever you're going through. It is not this lady who saw Jesus. The Bible records that Jesus saw her. And number three, let me conclude. Number one, how do we hope beyond hope when Jesus shows up in our situation? But number two, when Jesus sees us before we can see him. Number three, when Jesus Christ feels that compassion. The Bible says when Jesus feels, you know, he felt compassion for the lady, his heart went out to the lady. Another translation says he had compassion for the lady. You'll get to realize that compassion had been and is always a precursor for divine intervention. You know, he had compassion before he fed the 5,000. He felt compassion, you know, over the 5,000. And I want to tell you, compassion here dismisses any credit and worthiness of our being.
Come on.
In most circumstances, we believe that it's because we're good that God should show up.
We deserve it.
We deserve it. No. The compassion of God is, in a nutshell, the mercies of God over your life. And I want to tell you that his mercies are new every morning.
Nah.
It doesn't matter what you have been into, a situation, context, and difficulties. I don't know what you've done in your life that you've so much condemned yourself and you've told yourself, God cannot show up, you know, in my case. But I've come to tell you that his mercies are new every morning. And he's full of compassion. And his compassion goes beyond your flaws, beyond your inadequacies, and beyond your frailty of really spirituality. I've come to tell somebody, hope beyond hope comes when Jesus shows up.
Amen.
In the very context of your situation. Hope beyond hope comes when Jesus sees you before you can even see him. But hope beyond hope comes when Jesus has compassion even in the midst of your mistakes.
Amen.
And I'm talking to somebody, you might have made so many blunders in your life and you've self-judged and condemned yourself. But let me pray for you. Father, I pray there's somebody who might have given up on an episode and situation in their lives, but I've come to encourage and I've come to trust you with that person, that there is hope beyond human hope. There is hope beyond medical hope. There is hope beyond natural hope. And that hope is found in you alone, Christ Jesus. You did it for this young man who came back to life, to this widow, and even the case of Dr. Dindi, who went back for this young man, and the father had hope in Christ. Father, I'm praying and trusting you for a turnaround over somebody's life today, that we will see the miracle, not in man, but in Christ and Lord. Have your way in somebody's life today. Hope beyond hope in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Dr. J. Time for the news. But before I go there, I need to go through these messages. Good afternoon, family and foodies. I'm present. That's Limit Gia. And again, she says, Amen, Jehovah. You're preaching to me, Mfundisi. And Masi Chava says, good afternoon, family. You're talking to me this afternoon. Thank you for reviving my hope today. So thank you so much, Dr. J, and have a lovely afternoon.
God bless you, sis.
Feel the pulse of the real life on 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? Radio Pulpit, in collaboration with Need Prayer, is ready to stand in prayer with you. Contact us today with your prayer request at 012-334-1222. or WhatsApp us on 067-429-7564. You can also visit us on radiopulpit.co.za for your online prayer request. We will faithfully pray with you.
Tune in to Radio Pulpit on 657 AM for reliable Christian talk radio at its best. Find your daily dose of Christ-centered motivation and encouragement on Radio Pulpit 657. Download our app now. Tune in to radiopulpit.co.za or find us on DSTV Audio 882 and OpenView 607. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion for more than 40 years, brings a relevant moral alternative to 400,000 listeners in a variety of South African languages. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and download our podcasts today.
You and 657 AM and Life, a winning team on the road to eternity.